Hi there. Today, let's learn how individuals with a condition called aphantasia cannot see images in their minds and how their imagination works in a different way. We are now starting to understand something called neurodiversity. That's the idea that all of our brains work a little bit differently. And this notion of neurodiversity is gaining popularity. Welcome to today's topic, aphantasia and the world of non-visual imagination. The verb to imagine, imagine, means to form an idea in your head of a thing or an event that may come into being. An imagination is just the noun to go with that. Most people imagine with pictures, with images, and for this we use the verb to visualize. V-I-S-U-A-L-I-S-E. So today I'm talking about the 1 to 3% of people who just don't see pictures in their heads. Are you one of them? Let's find out. This podcast is rich in describing words for our internal experience and gives you something interesting to listen to while doing your English language listening practice. Some great English vocabulary here. And if you stay until the end, I'll share with you my particular type of neurodiversity. I'll talk about how my brain works differently from most other people's. Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. So have you ever wondered why some of us can vividly picture an apple in our minds while others can't see anything at all? Inside your head, do you see colours, faces and landscapes as vivid pictures? Or is seeing something in your mind's eye impossible? People who imagine but without any images have aphantasia. Are you one of these people? In my work as a psychotherapist, through the many discussions I have, I'm aware just how differently people's minds work. It's a very different experience psychologically inside one person from inside another person. And this is one big difference. Most people are able to visualize, able to see things in their mind's eye, imagine things visually. But there are people who just aren't able to do this, who don't visualize, who don't see images in their heads. They may imagine, but not with images. Isn't it amazing how we just assume everyone else's experience is like our own? But really, this couldn't be further from the truth. In today's podcast, welcome to the world of aphantasia. That's the word for the condition of not being able to visualize in your mind. Let's start with a simple experiment. Close your eyes for a moment and try to picture a red apple. Can you see its shiny surface, its crisp outline, the woody stem sticking out at the top where the apple was attached to the tree? Can you see the apple skin? Is the image clear? Can you make it detailed? Or do you find yourself with a blank, unable to see any image at all in your head? This isn't just a trick question. It's a way of understanding how different our experience is from one another within our own heads. So I read an article this week in The Guardian about aphantasia, A-P-H-A-N-T-A-S-I-A. And this is one of those words which describe our experience, our personal experience, knowable only by us. So the term aphantasia comes from the Greek word phantasar, meaning imagination. The A on the front indicates an opposite, the absence of imagination, or visual imagination at least. The Greek word phantasar relates to our English word fantasy, And it comes from the Greek verb phainomai, meaning I appear. And this gives us the English word phenomenon. Now, like most people, I am an extremely visual person. Visual, V-I-S-U-A-L, means sense of vision. And if I imagine things, I see them in my head. I can remember people's faces, even people who died a very long time ago. For example, my father died in 1983, but if I think of him, I can make his face appear in my mind in great detail and with great accuracy if I want to. If I want to imagine a situation that's not yet happened, my mind tends to do this through images. I can imagine sounds and smells and textures and tastes, but visual imagery is my usual way of imagining something. But what if you're someone who cannot do visualizing at all? Someone who cannot remember people's faces and who cannot picture things in their mind? Is this a problem for people? What is it like? And is it something you've ever thought about before? So aphantasia means not being able to visualize. What is that like for the estimated 1 to 3% of people who have aphantasia? So if you ask someone with aphantasia to describe something after the event, they may be able to remember words to describe. It could be a hotel room, a seafront or a holiday destination or someone's face. But a person with aphantasia wouldn't be able to make a mental image of what they're describing or mentally see its appearance as they speak. For some people, aphantasia affects imagination relating to other senses as well. So if I say to you, imagine the smell of freshly baked bread, or the smell of ground coffee, or the smell of freshly cut grass. If you've experienced those smells, then you're probably able to bring them into your imagination. And it could be the same with sounds. But according to research published recently, imagining these experiences which relate to other senses, touch, smell, hearing, also may be impossible for some people. So aphantasia can be just an absence of mental pictures, or it may include sounds, smells, etc. as well. So what's the effect on people's lives if they have aphantasia? Well, most of the time, not much. For example, you might think that people with this condition would be less likely to be involved in art or creative activities. But actually, aphantasia doesn't seem to affect this. People with aphantasia can and do make art. I understand this. Visualizing isn't necessarily a part of making art. It's more like you know what looks right when you've made it. It's a different process, using different networks in the brain, probably. So people with aphantasia may even be attracted to visual arts because it offers a rich experience externally, which isn't mirrored internally inside their heads. Generally, people with aphantasia manage life pretty much like anyone else would. Where it's more noticeable, if you're attempting to meditate or do mindfulness to relax your mind, then you may find that much of what you're asked to do, especially if you're using an app like Headspace, is not going to work. You know how this goes. Imagine a beach in the sunshine. It's warm and you can smell the sea and see seagulls flying overhead. You can hear the sound of the waves. If you have aphantasia, then parts of this may not be possible for you, even if lying on a beach like this is an experience you know well. If someone has aphantasia, this also affects therapy, perhaps. There is no point in me saying to someone with aphantasia, imagine doing that presentation. Imagine the faces in the room all looking at you. It's not going to work if it's a visualization exercise, and you need to find a different way. If you were witness to a crime and you had aphantasia, you would still be a credible witness. You may just remember different parts, different aspects of a situation. We talk in English about neurodiversity, N-E-U-R-O-D-I-V-E-R-S-I-T-Y, the idea that people's brains work in different ways. And actually, that's what's wonderful about the human brain. It adapts. People's brains find other ways around. So people with aphantasia adapt. Often they're very good at descriptive language instead. They use words instead of pictures. One of the examples in the Guardian article, can you imagine the house you grew up in? Well, for me, that's entirely visual if I do that. But the example given by someone with aphantasia quoted in this article, when asked about their memory of the house they grew up in, I feel it physically. I physically feel the space. One thing that fascinates me about this condition, however, what is the dreaming experience of someone with aphantasia? To dream, D-R-E-A-M, that's what happens when you sleep. You might visit all sorts of places in your dreams. For me, if I dream, I might remember the feelings or the sounds. Sometimes I'll remember words from my dreams. But most of the time for me, dreaming is visual. And when most people dream, they see things. It's visual and hard to imagine dreaming in any other way. But actually, people with aphantasia can sometimes experience vivid images while dreaming. The explanation seems to be the difference between purposefully, intentionally trying to think of an image in your head and what is thrown up automatically by the unconscious mind when we're asleep. It's a different mechanism in the brain. So it's important to think of conditions like aphantasia as just variants. They're not something gone wrong that needs treatment or needs fixing, but rather they are part of neurodiversity, simply the differences in brain function between human beings. And they're really fascinating, and many of us don't realize they're there. My type of neurodiversity, I'm probably rather more towards a condition called synesthesia. That's where you see colours associated with things like letters and numbers, where colours have no business being associated. That's synesthesia, S-Y-N-A-E-S-T-H-E-S-I-A. For me, the days of the week, the months of the year, numbers, letters, and even sometimes words all have particular colours. For example, Monday is blue, Wednesday is purple. Weird, I know, for most people, but that's normal for me inside my head. Don't forget, this podcast is intended to improve your English language understanding and help you work towards fluency. So don't forget to listen to it a number of times. Happy listening. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.